Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, show us the Word made flesh, good news of great joy for all, so that we may sing with the angels, glory in the highest and peace on earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61, reading verses 10 to chapter 62, verse 3. Let us hear the word of God. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a beautiful crown in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Our second reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 148. It is a responsive reading, and I invite you to respond with the all portions indicated on the screens. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and women alike, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Our third lesson comes from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 4, reading verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
And continuing to read from God's word, as it is given to us in Luke chapter 2, reading verses 22 to 40. Listen for God's word to his people. Now when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man from Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised him, saying, "Master, now may you dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. Now she was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Across our town this morning, across every town, everywhere this morning, white vans are zipping through residential neighborhoods. You know the white vans, don't you? In our neighborhood up on Ellen Avenue, where we live, I think there are at least 3 different white vans that move through our neighborhood during the course of almost any day. Delivery vans and couriers, filled with packages from online retailers, most with the promise of next day delivery. From next day parcels to music and movies on demand, to skip the dishes or a supper made from something out of a box, everything these days seems to be instantaneous. We have become people who do not like to wait for anything at all. That is perhaps what first strikes us then in the gospel text that we read this morning. The waiting. The waiting of faith. Everything that we hear about in this passage that we just read from Luke's gospel has its own appointed time. Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem because it was the 8th day since his birth, and this was the appointed day upon which the child would be circumcised according to the law. There in the temple precincts, the Holy Family meet these two people, each with their own testimony to who Jesus is, Simeon and Anna. We know little about them, really, save for these few verses here in Luke's gospel, and yet their testimony is central to our understanding of the person of Jesus. They follow in the footsteps of the Christmas angels and the breathless angels who knelt at the side of the manger on that first Christmas night. Like them, Simeon and Anna hear the good news, bear the good news that this is the Messiah, the one who would redeem Israel. Both Simeon and Anna had been waiting for this moment, and now the time had come. The time with God's promises to them has been fulfilled. The time when their longing can come to an end and they will see the Christ. One wonders what it must have been like for Simeon and Anna to live lives of expectation for so long, seeking, searching for the one that was promised by God. In the face of every person that passed through the gate or wandered along the courtyard in the temple, how could you tell? What does God's anointed look like? Would they be just a little bit taller? They say that, don't they? The people who are destined for success, successful people in sports, yes, but in all walks of life are the people who are just a little bit taller than everybody else. So would God's anointed be just a little bit taller? Perhaps he would stand just a little bit straighter than all of the rest. Maybe their eyes would dance or their face would shine because they bore the glory of the divine. What would he look like? What must Simeon have been looking for? How did Anna know? Luke doesn't answer that part of the story. He doesn't give us an answer to that question. Perhaps it was just the unfolding of the mystery of faith. But we know this. Jesus, they recognized Jesus, and all at once, all of their hope tumbled out of their mouths in praise and proclamation. This is the one for whom we have been waiting for so long, the one who will redeem Israel. And all at once, they're gone again, dissolving into the crowd that was gathered there in the courtyard of the temple, vanishing amidst the money changers and the sellers of animals for the sacrifice. And that's maybe where we come in. Angels and shepherds. Anna and Simeon. You and I. To everyone and to each generation, Christ is given, the hope of ages. And in every generation, the challenge is the same. Will we pause long enough? Will we have the patience? Will we take the time to look for God's Messiah in Jesus of Nazareth? And will we allow ourselves to be changed by that revelation? Can we look out into the crowd of faces in the world and, like Anna and Simeon, see God's anointed coming toward us? Can we open our hearts to accept him into our lives and seek to walk in newness of life, knowing that with him, nothing will ever be the same? Our task as Christians today is to, like Anna and Simeon, hold up before others the proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one who comes to redeem the world and to make us and the world whole, to give us hope, to put an end to all those things that weigh us down and that keep others in their place, that some may rise to the top. justice and mercy proceeds from Christ and Christ alone. And that is the good news of the Christmas season, that Christ has come. And that he seeks to move us forward. If we will just allow him to come in and to speak to our hearts and to move us to greater acts of faithfulness and love. Earlier this week, I was looking for something else. Every now and then, you know, when you go to the bottom of the stairs and you can't remember what you went for, you can look for something else, and it's just as good. This wasn't quite one of those moments. Somebody else already mentioned it. I was doing a little bit of research as I was getting ready to write something for the Standard Freeholder, which you may have seen a couple of days ago. And by the way, that piece, completely not what I was looking for. Not what I was planning to write at all, but, you know, halfway through the writing process, all of a sudden, wisdom comes. But as I was preparing to do that and kind of getting some thoughts together and trying to find something worth saying for the week, I was looking at a video on YouTube by a woman by the name of Brené Brown. Brené Brown has become a fairly popular author. She's a professor of social work in the United States and a Christian. And the little clip that I found, which had nothing to do with anything I was thinking about at all, had to do with her leaving church and her coming back to church again. And she said in this short little video clip that she was raised in the church and she was born, baptized Episcopalian, but she went to a Catholic school, so she became a Catholic. Her parents became Catholics because of that. But she said at a certain point in her life, she left church. She didn't leave the faith that underpins it, but she left church because the church became less about faith and mystery and more about politics and certainty. And she found it no longer spoke to her. But in the past few years, as she's been raising her family, she has come back to the church. And she has found, once more in the Anglican Communion, the Episcopal Church in the States, she has found there a table that is open to all and one which continues to express a faith and a mystery that speaks to her soul. But as she came to the end of this very short little clip out of a longer interview, she made this one statement. She kind of looked at the camera and she said, "At this point, my faith is the organizing principle of my life." And as we think about Simeon and Anna this morning, standing in the temple and waiting, the reality is that for them, for so long, their faith had become the organizing principle of their life. That they saw everything through the prism of the search for the coming Messiah, the one who would deliver them and give hope to the world. And that is for us too, to be organized around the hope that Christ has come to give life to a weary world. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen.